Greet you in Jesus' precious name. It's good to see you here. I'm sure on a Saturday night, it'd be real easy just to sit back and relax and do something else. But I'm glad to see you here. And I'm sorry, children, I do not have a story for you tonight. I should have told you that last night in case you didn't want to come. But I'm glad to see you here anyhow. But I will have one tomorrow night, Lord willing. Last night in the message, we looked at removing a wall, the wall of sin. Jesus helps us do. Tonight, we want to look at building walls. Titled the message, Building Protective Walls. There's a certain type of wall that fascinates me. And I discovered an article and I started digging and researching a little bit. And if we were to travel through England and through Wales, we would find something that is quite common there that is not common here. There's miles and miles of stone hedges and stone walls. And these stone walls represent years of hard, diligent work and maintenance. It took hours upon hours to collect the stones and to put them in place. To carefully build these stone walls, the outlined pastures outline their fields. They've tried to date these walls, but it's very difficult because most stones do not come with a manufacturer's date on them. They simply have taken some walls apart and found artifacts and things in there that people have placed in there while they were building. Maybe a forgotten tool, or they found a farmer's pipe in there, things like that, and then they date those, but they are hundreds of years old. Most of these walls are what they call a dry stone wall. And they stand 4 to 6 feet tall, no mortar. They put a base down, they use large stones, and they start working their way up a little few feet. They put a tie stone across and they keep building themselves up. And in that cavity, they place small stones. Not soil, but small stones, and fill that up, making it tight. Then when they get up to the desired height, they put a capstone on, something big that sheds the water and keeps the water from running down, drying down in there. We could wonder, why do they go to all this work? They call this a double dry stone wall. Why do they go to all this work? One of the reasons is there's plenty of stones and not much lumber. And somewhere up in these hills and fields, it's easy to get the stones there, and lumber is expensive. Stones last longer. No offense to any fence builders, but fences wear out, disappear a whole lot faster than rocks and stones do. These stone walls offer protection from protruders, prying eyes. It created a safe haven for the animals there. For the sheep, a lot of sheep there, and so it's very difficult for the foxes and coyotes to get through a stone wall. The other thing it did is the sheep, if there's a driving rain, the sheep could come in behind that wall and find a dry, safe place. Apparently, if you kept your stone wall in good shape, you actually got a tax credit. If you let them start falling apart, you got a knock from somebody and maybe had to pay a little bit if you neglected your property and started letting things fall into disrepair. Years ago, the man of the house or the farmer would set out. It's his job to build those walls, protect his, outline his farm, as it were, and to keep his stock, his family protected. And it was his job to maintain them. We are called, many of us, called to be leaders, protectors. We're given responsibilities. And I'd like to take some examples from that. Job that we have to do to build walls in our life for our spiritual safety, protection for ourselves, for our families, and others that follow our footsteps. I invite you to turn to Psalm 89 to begin with. Psalm 89. We have an enemy that would love to make inroads into our life. Psalm 89, I'll start reading verse 38. But thou hast cast off and abhorred, thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Just a little insight. This is a negative slant. What was happening to ones who had been given truth, given opportunity? They let it go. They cast it down. And look at verse 40. The hedges, the walls were broken down so that all that passed by could take of a spoil. Turn back now to Psalm 80. Psalm 80. I think I'll break in at verse 7. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Speaking of the children of Israel, thou preparest a room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs under the sea, and her branches under the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they that pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the woods doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. When a vineyard is planted, there needs to be something there to protect it. It needs to be properly fenced and walled, or the wild animals just wander in and plunder it, take advantage of it. Neighbors can just come in and help themselves. When the hedges are broken down, it's robbed of its defenses. And God was desiring that Jerusalem would be protected, but the people disobeyed. And the walls of safety were pulled down so that the neighboring cities could march in and plunder it. The wild boar of the woods, I understand, is Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had devoured it, can march right in. It is our responsibility to build and maintain walls that allows God's protection in our lives and the lives that are entrusted into our care. Turn now to Ecclesiastes 10. Ecclesiastes 10. I'm just going to read verse 8 to 9. Verse 8. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. And whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith. And he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If we're going to take down those protective walls in our lives, there's going to be hurts. There's going to be sufferings if we neglect and purposely take down the walls of protection. We'll come back to this verse later on. Now I'd like to go to the book of Job. And I'd like to look at some things that he did. Job chapter 1. We're going to enter into a conversation that Satan and God were having. Job chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 6. We have God and Satan talking, and there's something that seems to be fairly clear in Satan's mind. Verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and sheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Satan, God asked Satan, Have you seen Job? Satan said, Oh yes, I know Job. But Satan said, I can't touch him. There's a hedge around about him. And Satan is quite sure that if those hedges would be removed, that it would be game over for Job. He would curse God. Little did Satan realize of who had put the hedges there. Satan is saying, Why wouldn't Job fear you and serve you? You're protecting him. I'd like to look at some walls that Job built. First one is a fear of God, a reverent fear of God. Look at verse 1 of Job 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Job feared God and turned away from evil. A very important wall that must be built. We must have a reverent fear of God. Have a worship for God. Let's turn back to Job chapter 31. You can keep your finger in Job 1 if you like. We'll be back and forth throughout the book of Job. Job chapter 31. We get a glimpse into just how important this fear of God was. As we get Job reflecting, Job did not want anything to interfere with that fear of God. Job 31, start reading at verse 24. If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, Thou art my confidence, if I rejoice because my wealth was great, and because mine hand had gotten much, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hands, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. Job was saying, if I have made any of this more important, then I deserve to be punished. Job feared God. Job did not want anything to interfere with his fear of God. He did not leave anything just to chance. He did not take the hope for the best approach. Job was concerned about his family. You know that back in chapter 1, I'll just read that verse 5. As his sons were feasting in the houses, verse 5 reads, And it was so, when the days of feasting were gone about, Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Job was not just concerned about himself, he was concerned about his family, fearing God. I see him as a father that endeavored to guide his children from young, from their innocent years into their adult years. And I just put a challenge out to fathers. Where are our ideals for our families? Do you care that much for them? Do you have a fear of God? It's more than just getting to church. It's being that spiritual leader in the home. It's setting that good example. Job was setting that good example for his children. Leading out in family worship. Our fear of God should direct us to build those walls. Proverbs 14:27 reads this way, The fear of the Lord is the foundation of life, to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is the foundation. You catch that? It's what we build upon. Second wall that Job built is a wall of commitment. Job was committed to God. Let's turn to Job chapter 13. I'm going to read several portions here to Job. First one is in Job 13, verse 15 and 16. This is Job's commitment. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also should be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. That's Job's commitment to God. For an hypocrite will not come before him. Turn over to chapter 19. 25 and 26. These are familiar verses. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job was committed. Life was not easy for him at this time. Turn over to chapter 23, verse 10, 11, and 12. Job says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Commitment is being lost in today's world. Would this be our testimony? What Job said here? When David Livingstone was over in Africa, there was a missionary society who wrote to him and they asked this question. Have you found a good road to where you're at? If so, we want to know. We have some other men to send to you. Livingston wrote back. He said, if you have men who will only come, only if they know a good road, I don't want them. He says, I want men who will come if there's no road at all. What did David Livingston want? He wanted commitment. He wanted people who are committed to no matter what the task was. And it's easy to give our verbal commitment, but can we live it out? Can we live it out? James 1 verse 22 says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. You know, when we have a lack of commitment, we're hurting ourselves. We're weakening ourselves. Commitment takes effort. It takes energy. And it's the best for our spiritual health. It is the best. Commitment reaches into so many little practical areas. We could read in Job. Job was hospitable. Job was caring. Job wanted to be fair. Job was transparent and honest. Let's just read a little, few of those verses. Job chapter 31. We were in here earlier. For sake of time, I'm not going to read all the verses. But start reading at verse 13. Job was committed. And he says, he is asking the question here. Verse 13 of chapter 31. If I did despise the cause of my manservant or my maidservant, when they contend with me, what then shall I do when God riseth up? And when he visited, what shall I answer him? Did not he that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb? If I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless had not eaten thereof, for from my youth he was brought up with me, as with a father, and I have guided her from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering. And he goes on asking those questions. Then in verse 22, he says, if he's guilty, he says, then let my arm fall from my shoulder blade, and mine arm be broken from the bone. Job was committed. He was devoted. And that devotion to God carried him through this time of hardship, a time of loss, a time of suffering. And I just ask myself the question, ask yourself the question, is your commitment to God strong enough to carry you through? Are you committed to the church? Is your commitment worth passing on to your children? Fathers, grandfathers, is it worth passing on? Or are you secretly hope that they do better than you, that they don't follow too closely, they don't look too close? You know, we look at Job's life and we read it and we wonder, how could he stand so strong? Even his wife said, Job, are you sure this is worth it? How can he be faithful through such hardship? How? Because he's prepared before it came. Job did not wait till the first servant came running, telling him of disaster. Job did not wait till the first boil popped out. No. He started building hedges and walls long before, so that when the servant did come running And when the boils began to pop out, he was had those hedges in place. God is asking us in our lives to be builders, to be maintainers of the walls within our personal lives. But do we know the condition of the walls? Back in England, back in Wales, they needed to get out. They needed to keep an eye on those walls. Apparently what would happen is people would pull off beside the road, they'd look at these stone walls, and they would see this nice big stone on top. So guess what they did with it? Picked it off, put it in their car trunk, and away they went. But that left the top of that wall exposed. The next rainstorm that would come, the rain would go down there and start washing away the inside of the wall. If that farmer didn't catch on, his wall would start to fall away. He needed to get out there. And I wonder sometimes, do we really care about the condition of the walls in our lives? It's easy to say, I want to do better. Yes, I want to get to church more. I want to read my Bible more. But that's not good enough. I want is not going to build walls. I want to spend more time with my family. That's not good enough. We need to just do it. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Another covenant that Job made is found in Job 31. Job built a hedge of moral purity. Job 31, start reading at verse 1. Says, I have made a covenant with mine eyes. When then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above? And what inheritance of Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or for my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. What is Job saying here? He says, I have made a deal between my heart and my conscience. He made a deal that would not allow him to dwell or look on anything that would threaten that covenant. And he even went to identify the areas of weakness. And in verse 6, he put himself open before God. Let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. Could you pray that tonight? Can you tell God, put me in your balance. You weigh me. God, check mine integrity. We have to be daily actively building this wall of moral purity. We cannot allow even this tiniest gap. We cannot afford cheap building material. We cannot afford to go about this half-heartedly. Moral purity involves the purity of our thoughts, our words, our deeds. And I like to use something for an example. I think I'm safe to say for this congregation, it's safe to say and for many that years ago, the church needed to take a stand against the radio and the TV. They took a stand, and I'm going to say our parents, our grandparents, they took a stand. It was recognized as a tool that Satan is using. And so they said, no, we don't want it. It was easy. If there was a TV in the house, you picked it up and carried it outside. Throw it away. It's done. But the way Satan's program is being broadcasted is changing. We don't need that big TV anymore. And I wonder. I know the other night when the lights went out, there's quite a few of these came popping out of the pockets. Cell phones. Technology is good. But if we're going to build a wall of moral purity, it's going to even affect how we use our cell phones. Years ago, I compared five things with a cell phone, with an old TV. I say it an old TV because our parents said, we said no to it. And yet we carry cell phones in our pockets. Years ago, that old TV had 30-some channels. Our computers today, I couldn't find a number. There's millions of options. To be able to mainstream movies. Movies right onto our phone, on our computers. We talk about browsing today. That old TV had the same 30-some channels, if you're fortunate to get 30-some channels. Today, there are over 100 billion web pages. And that changes constantly. Gaming. The old TV didn't have any games until later on. Today, there's tens of thousands of options. Games. Occupying your time. Social networking. Again. Years ago, the social networking was the party line, the telephone, or at the corner store. Social networking day, there's thousands of options. Now I come closer home. Pornography on that old TV. Do I say there was hardly any, if none? Today, there are 4 million websites available. And that's available on our phones. If we're going to build a wall of moral purity, we're going to do something about that. We say computers are our tools, and I trust we make them that. But you know, times have changed. The reason they're selling computers is not the same reason why they started. I remember back in April of 1992, Windows 3.1 was released. We thought we got technology. But you know, it did not come with the same. Some of the web browsers, the media players, the modem, sound cards, a lot of that stuff was extra. Now, it's being sold for gaming. Why do I share this? Because technology is good. I'm not against it, but it's dangerous. And unless we understand that and do something about it, it's going to hurt us. Satan is getting a means of getting into our lives, into our homes. We say, oh yes, we're being careful. But are we being careful? Is that wall, that stone wall being built? Today we are dealing with something that can access much content. I read earlier from Ecclesiastes 10, verse 8. I'm going to read that verse again. It says, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. Whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Think about it, dear ones. If we allow a gap in our personal wall of purity, Satan will bite us. And there's a pit that we will fall into us. If we're going to be Jobs, we're going to avoid immorality traps. We can go into magazines. We can go into books. We can go into music. Let's be careful. Immorality, immoral things will break down walls in our life. It'll affect our ability to be of service to God and to others. Satan knows he cannot expect us to make a gate for him to come through, but he's going to watch for that weak spot. Job built a wall of moral purity. That means he was careful as he related to other people. And I see electronic communication breaking down a reserve between man and woman. I see it breaking down a reserve in the youth groups. Verse 4 of this verse says, doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? Do we realize that tonight, youth? That God knows your steps, what actions you are taking? I would just urge you, youth, everyone here, but especially youth, guard and protect the emotions and the hearts of each other. It's so easy. I don't know what your standard here is, but I'm grieved when I hear youth, you know, they won't communicate eye to eye, but they'll communicate freely through a cell phone. And cross barriers and lines that should not be crossed. And I urge everyone, make a covenant with your eyes as Job did. Purpose in your heart like Daniel did to stand true to God. Build the wall. Build the wall. Job built a wall of sound ethics, consistency. We were reading in Job 39. We could go back to Job 29. I don't have time to read all this, I will read some of it. Job 29, verse 7. What Job is doing is telling about his life, how he was in the community. Verse 7, it says, "When I went out to the gate to the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged men arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hands on their mouths." They were careful what they said. They knew what Job stood for. "The nobles held their peace, and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help me. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was eye to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out." And on we could read. Job built a wall, and that wall caused him to reach out, and he was consistent in his personal life and his public life. And I just say this, what we are in public, we must be in private. And I think you know what I mean. Husbands, are we clear and honest with our wives? As parents, do we work together as a team teaching our children? Youth, are you open with your parents, with your pastors? Are you trustworthy in your business dealings? Or do you have a reputation for being shrewd, always needing that bargain? I'm ashamed sometimes when there's certain people who come into our place of business over the past years, and I hear our inside sales staff saying, "Well, we're going to have to watch this one," and I see who's coming, and I think, "Oh, you're ruining your reputation. You're breaking down a wall of sound ethics." Satan will have a hard time breaking through a wall if we've got the fruit of the Spirit built into our walls. Sometimes life brings its hard times, and that's kind of like our walls shifting and stones cracking. We need to repair them. We can get weary in our Christian life. We can get lazy, as it were. Satan can weaken us. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 24. We need to bring this to a close. Proverbs 24, there's a picture here that I see of our lives. Let's start reading verse 30. "I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And, lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." As I understand the setting here, I want you to picture with me King Solomon stepping down from his throne and taking a stroll to the countryside. And he comes upon this property described in these verses here, verse 30. He comes by the field of the slothful. There's a vineyard here. And a man had failed to keep up his vineyard. And the stone wall is broken down. It's grown over. There's nettles and I don't know what all. It's full of weeds. He's become lazy. He's become careless. It's hard to tell where the boundary lines are. The vineyard is not very productive because nobody cares. Nobody cares enough to prune the vines, get rid of the weeds, take away the dead vines. Tonight, I ask you this. What if Jesus was to stroll through your life, through the vineyard of your heart? What would he see? Would he see the dead branches pruned away and see that you're bearing fruit? Would he see the stone walls built high and strong, keeping out Satan? Solomon said, as he looked at this mess, he said, I received instruction. Are we humble enough to learn from our mistakes? Are we humble enough to say, you know what? I need to do some repair work. One of those things, those stone walls, is they were out there for everybody to see. That farmer, when he knew there's a repair job to do, he needed to get out there and do it. And the whole neighborhood could see him. It took work. What would Jesus see in your life? It takes work. It takes diligence. I just ask you the question, are we committed to the work of building strong homes, strong churches, strong personal lives? And it's my prayer that as we do that, those walls would define a boundary. And as we have that boundary established, and Satan comes to throw temptations at, he sees that wall, and he says, you know what, I'm not welcome here. And he's rebuked and leaves. And as we build that wall, it will not only benefit us, but it will benefit the next generation. Build your stone wall. Where are you at tonight? I don't think I'm going to give an invitation tonight. Rather, I leave that challenge with you. If Jesus is stalling through his life, are you willing to put your life on a balance before God? As God looked at Job, in Job chapter 1, he used a word. He used integrity. Job has integrity. Can God say that about you? I leave that question with you. And may you be willing, if it takes, to change, repair, and restore that stone wall.